L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Check them out at greenventureslandscaping.com. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson to the program from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? Get it on. Let's go.
We have made it to draft day. We are finally here. So, with that, Charles, a lot of interesting conversations this week around the Arizona Cardinals at number three. I mean, if you look at all these mock draft gurus out there, I don't think any of them had Jeremiah Love at number three to Arizona prior to like Monday this week, and now all of them do. So, I guess number one, what do you make of that? And what do you make of the idea also that Arizona is looking to get out of there at number three?
Well, I think, you know, as we've gotten closer to the draft, I think the thing that has troubled teams, really, I mean, you could say it's from the start, but it never really changed, is that when teams sat there and looked at their board and said, okay, what are our, you know, who are our best prospects? What are our best assessments? When we're sitting there, we're just stacking up the board based on, like, our evals. You had a safety in Caleb Downs. You had a running back, Jeremiah Love. You had an off-ball linebacker, Sonny Styles, who all have, like, who are all sitting up there at the top of a lot of boards. They're not premium positions. And so, you just have teams that are sitting there going, this is what we're going to have to do in this draft. Like, we're going to have to pay a ton of guaranteed money to some non-premium position guys. And unless we can trade out, I think the Raiders feel good about being at one with Mendoza. Okay, fine. You know, it's a good enough quarterback. I think David Bailey and the Jets, I think that's another position where I think the Jets feel fine, you know, sitting at number two. But then once you get past that, what's interesting about the Cardinals is I think Jeremiah Love is I've heard one and two on their board in terms of their top overall prospect. I don't think they're alone in this. I think they sit there and stare at that and they go, okay, we're at three. If we draft him, we're paying him $50 million in guaranteed money. And it's, again, a non-premium position. And when you look afield, you know, Saquon Barkley got $36 million in guaranteed money last year. Ashton Jeanty, I think it was like 35.9. You know, Kenneth Walker wins a Super Bowl MVP, and he can't get more than, I think he got 28.7 from the Chiefs in guaranteed money. All of a sudden, you're gonna not only make Jeremiah Love the highest paid in terms of guaranteed money running back in the league, it's going to be by a lot. And, you know, I think to stick there and take him, you have to really, really be convicted. And so I think the Cardinals are open for business. I don't think there's any surprise that you're seeing them as that sort of trade up target now at number three. I do think they would move back. I think it would require a first round pick in 2027. And what I think is interesting for the Titans is say they stick and pick, say they go, you know what, no one's offering up that 2027 first that we really want. You know, everybody's being greedy about that draft. So let's just stick here. Love's our guy, you know, we'll pay the money, whatever. And then all of a sudden you have, like, let's say Arvell Reese is sitting there at four. I wonder then if that creates an opportunity for the Titans. If you have the Saints, the Chiefs, you know, I think the Saints and the Chiefs will be the two teams everybody's going to talk today about wanting to scoot up inside that top 10, get a little higher, I think, for an edge. And I wonder if it creates that opportunity then for the Titans to say, hey, we're open for business at four. I believe they would also want a 2027 first for someone to come up and get, you know, an Arvell Reese at number four. I think if that happens, that's lucrative. I think any team that walks out of this draft trading back and picking up a 2027 first in the process, ends up being a winner in this draft. I truly believe that. I've heard it so much. You know, I've heard people just bang on this draft so much outside of the defensive line and the offensive, you know, line near the top of the draft, that I literally had someone, an evaluator, and it was funny because I ended up using the quote in the story today about Ty Simpson being this unknown in the draft. I mean, he called it the worst draft in NFL history, and it didn't even like resonate with me that it was even a spicy quote. And I filed a piece, and
that's spicy.
My NFL editor calls me. He's like, "Hey, man, this quote's kind of inflammatory."
Al Toby called you, said, "Dude, yeah. Bro."
He was like, dude,
he went to college with us too.
Yeah, he said it was a super inflammatory quote, and I was like, man, I have heard that so much, it doesn't even register with me anymore. That, you know, back in February, I probably would have raised an eyebrow. But so, you know, I think it's going to be interesting at 3 and 4, that turn there. Just and I truly believe that maybe the Cardinals hold a little bit of key to how much chaos happens early and whether or not they're willing to commit to Love at 3.
Okay, so that's interesting. So, because I don't know, I feel like the Saints might be more like enamored with a receiver, but like the Chiefs really wanting an edge, and like a lot of people have them like looking at them like maybe taking Bain at 9. The Chiefs, Reese is there, I guess, or Reese or Bailey.
And I'm telling you, I think if the Saints or Chiefs move up, it's for Reese. I truly believe that. It's not for a receiver, I can tell you that.
Okay.
I would be stunned.
No, yeah.
One of these.
No, I know they're not moving up for receiver. What I'm saying is I did my doubts that the Saints would do it because they could get a receiver at 8. But the Chiefs, they seem like edge for sure.
Yeah.
So they come up. So we've been talking about the Chiefs as a possibility, like 9 and 29. But instead, the Titans may be like 9 and next year's 1, even though next year's 1 could be probably pretty low, but it's still just a way better draft. So that would be the preference.
Yeah, you'd want – I'm telling you, I truly 100% believe that you would go for the 2027 first, not the late first this year. The value difference, and you know, it's funny because some evaluators, they, you know, GMs, you make enough of these calls and you kick around the 2027 draft, they get agitated and they say, look, man, you can't do that. You can't keep depending on next year's class being great because you don't know what injuries are going to happen.
And
you know,
doesn't that get exaggerated too? I feel like a lot of times we're like, oh, next year, the quarterbacks next year. And then we see another year of college football and it's like, oh, wait, we might have overestimated a little bit, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I will tell you.
Maybe it's more like with quarterbacks than overall.
I've heard more. Like the 2027 draft reminds me of 2024. I heard about 2024 like 2 years out and the build up to 2024. And 2024. For all intents and purposes, obviously there's been misses, but it's a banger. I mean, it's been a very, very good class. And 2027, it's the same deal. The key is the quarterbacks, right? I mean, like there's an expectation that a ton of these quarterbacks could, you know, really materialize and be great players. But, you know, the Dylan Raiola kid, it's kind of funny because 2 years ago, everyone was projecting him in the 2027 draft. He's not even going to be a starter next year in college football. So, people get excited, but there's just too many people on that draft and too many people talking about the depth at so many different positions that it's hard for me to believe it's not going to materialize. And by the way, not only that, I mean, they're backing it up by just being, you know, as we've gotten closer to the draft, there's been more and more teams that are like, we don't want to deal. You know, yeah, the people are poking around trying to, you know, potentially move back in this draft, but they always want to talk about 2027 compensation. We don't want to move that.
So, Charles, speaking of the draft, looks like one person won't be there for day 3, and that's Mike Vrabel, who addressed the media earlier this week on the Russini-Vrabel situation, gave his opening statement, didn't get into a whole lot of detail about any of that stuff. And now here we find out that I guess he's going to counseling this weekend. That came out earlier or late last night, early this morning, that's going to be taking place on day 3 of the NFL draft. So what do you make of everything we've seen from Vrabel this week and this latest term that has him going to counseling on day 3 of the NFL draft?
Well, it just like seems to get worse and worse. Like every time somebody opens their mouth, you know, in terms of the PR for everybody involved. It just seems like it gets worse. And I think that does include the Patriots too. You know, the way that Vrabel first spoke to the media finally, you know, this idea that was kind of, you know, the Patriots try to pull a fast one where all of a sudden it's like, hey, Vrabel's going to show up and talk to you guys after everybody already left, you know, the facility. And, you know, like that was going to fly under the radar and, or at least, you know, lessen the reaction. Instead, it kind of stirred up, you know, the reporters that covered the team who, you know, just, I mean, hammered the Patriots for how they handled it. What I think is interesting here is that it's like, it feels like it's really one of two avenues, right? I mean, for this to come out now, you know, we're, what are we, I think some, it's not my count. I saw another reporter say it's been 16 days. But if we're 16 days later and now he's saying, now I'm going to miss the third day of the draft in which we have 8 picks, right? It's not inconsequential. It's not like, you know, oh, the Patriots only have 2 picks. You know, no, there's going to be a lot of players potentially selected in those rounds. That's a lot of conversation. And those are also picks where there's a lot of back and forth that happens, you know, in the room about potentially trading, moving around. Oh, this guy's coming down to us, you know, or, you know, we've lost out on somebody we're targeting. So now we have to move. There's certainly a lot of discussion that happens. So if it's, you know, legitimately he's going to miss that process, it's not a small thing. And again, I think you look at it two ways. Like, it's either, are you trying to get ahead of something else? Like, we've seen the Post, the New York Post continues to, people continue to trot out pictures, which you can say whatever you want about that. But I mean, it doesn't feel like it's a story some outlets are willing to let go of. And so you're wondering, okay, is there more to the story that the Patriots and Vrabel are trying to get ahead of right now? Or B, and I, this is my conspiracy theory or whatever you want to call it, and I think this is legitimate. I think the Patriots recognize some of the discussion around this over the last couple of weeks has been that Mike Vrabel hasn't, quote unquote, like, been held accountable for anything. That, you know, yeah, okay, he had to talk to the team.
Right. So it's performative. Ownership. That's my theory.
Right.
Too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's performative.
Said, performative. Right, right. Yeah, it's performative. This is now, you know, depending on what you think about it and whether or not it's once again performative and whether or not you know what his involvement's going to be if he's away from the team on day 3, it does give the Patriots a foothold to say, look, there wasn't nothing done. Mike was, you know, he sat out the third day of our draft. We had 8 draft picks or however many picks they end up with. That is certainly unprecedented. When you look at NFL history, I don't recall a head coach going to counseling on day 3 of the draft and potentially missing that process. So I think if anything, it just gives the Patriots an ability to push back a little bit on this idea that, well, you know, they've done nothing with Mike Vrabel and, you know, Diana Rossini, you know, resigned, you know, from her job at the Athletic and she's, you know, felt the repercussions of this, whatever it was. Ultimately, and Mike Vrabel hasn't felt any repercussions at all up until now. We, you know, as you said, Joe, it's felt performative, and this is certainly something different. And again, I think it just provides the Patriots and Vrabel with an additional measure to say it's not like nothing was done here on their part.
Yeah, none of it's working. I mean, it's just the whole thing's a freaking, it's an totally absolute freaking PR disaster. It's
yeah,
truly incredible.
Yeah.
So Charles, Jermaine McCoy, we talked about him earlier in the show. There's something about, well, I guess the other knee. What is it? Is this real? Is this going to be one of those things where people start talking about this and then he goes 17th tonight?
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously he had the right knee injury, misses the 2025 season. I will say that, like, the last 48, 72 hours, as I'm calling around, kind of doing the, hey, are you hearing anything? What are you hearing? What's going on? Like, what's the buzz? McCoy's name's come up a couple of times as a guy who's, you know, okay, this degenerative knee issue is certainly, it feels like it's a more of a legitimate concern than maybe teams were letting on earlier. And McCoy is this guy that could potentially slide out of the first round or slide to like the bottom of the first round. And, you know, fully healthy, is even missing the 2025 season was probably considered like a 15 to 20, you know, pick sort of guy. I'm a little, you know, I will say, remember Christian Fulton, the corner out of LSU?
Oh, yes. We do. We remember him well.
You do. He played there. Yes. Yeah, obviously. So I remember leading into that draft, I heard Fulton. I heard he was going to drop like a stone. Like, oh, Fulton's just, it's really bad. And, you know, Fulton's, you know, his injuries, you know, are too concerning. The medical's too concerning. He's being subboarded by a number of teams, you know, getting basically put on there. He's got the red dot. And, you know, Fulton ended up being, where did he go in that draft? I mean, he's a first round pick. And so it didn't, like, it just didn't materialize. So I'm kind of like, is this the same situation where all of a sudden everyone's kind of floating like, oh, this is really concerning. And there's somebody, you know, near the bottom of the first round that's maybe trying to get some teams to hesitate a little bit on McCoy and potentially push him to the bottom of the first round. But he's definitely one that, you know, there's certainly been a lot of negative buzz the last couple of days. And then this Arizona safety, Traydon Stukes, who's kind of like a flex safety, positionless safety, quote unquote, which is, everybody loves those guys now, Nick Emenwori and, you know, those types. He's the one that I'm certainly have heard, hey, there are more teams on this guy than you think. He wasn't, you know, wasn't really projected to be a first round pick. Now it's sounding like not only will he be a first round pick, he could potentially maybe even be in the early 20s. So like Stukes is sort of opposite of McCoy, where you're definitely hearing a lot of, you know, potential that he's moving up.
So Charles, you brought up Ty Simpson. What do you think is going to happen with him throughout this process? Because it, to me, it is so difficult to kind of nail down where he might go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I ended up writing about that today. Just it's very Shedeur Sanders like quality, where we went into that draft last year and no one could have thought what unfolded with Shedeur. I mean, it was shocking how it unfolded. I don't think Ty Simpson's got that kind of, you know, draft coming for him, but it's certainly one where everyone's still having kind of a hard time pinning down exactly what's going to happen with him, because, you know, there's, I think the Cardinals make a ton of sense, you know, Jacoby, especially with Jacoby Brissett now, I think wanting more money to be a bridge quarterback in 2020, Gardner Minshew's there. They basically have two bridge quarterbacks and they have the need, and he fits, you know, Michael Fleur's style of offense. They play in a dome. It gets them started on the process of developing a quarterback 1 year earlier rather than 1 year later. So this idea of, well, it's, you know, you could potentially wait until 2027. You know, I think the Cardinals would like to start to get moving, you know, with a long-term quarterback now, if they can, even if he has to be, you know, going through a developmental year. But, you know, yes, I think Simpson's, like, I heard so much about Sanders that turned out not to be true last year. I think it was the, I compared it to Belichick not making it on the Hall of Fame ballot, because I felt like when it was really all done, you know, months and months later, and you're unpacking it with teams about how Sanders falls, yes, there was a quality of a lot of teams not liking him, a quality of a lot of teams not viewing him as a first or second rounder, maybe he's a third rounder. But there was certainly a quality, too, of a lot of teams going, well, somebody's going to take them. Somebody's going to make that mistake that we won't make, but somebody else will make it. It was, you know, it's like Belichick. Well, everybody else is going to put him on the ballot. Somebody's going to, you know, if I leave him off the ballot, and then he ends up not making it into the Hall of Fame. Like, it feels like there's that kind of quality a little bit with Simpson, too, where it's like, well, yeah, you know, he's going to get drafted. You know, he's going to be, you know, he'll be at the end of the first round, and the Cardinals will move up and try to get that fifth round of control with him. I'm just wary because of how last year went. And, you know, Simpson, one half of the year, great film, other half of the year, pretty concerning, not a lot of starts. He fits into a bad box. You know, the size isn't perfect. So I still think the Cardinals are the obvious connection. I think the Jets, I've said this before, I don't think the Steelers don't make sense to me just based on long-term conversations I've had with people in the Steelers organization about how they'd really like to ultimately finally resolve their quarterback stuff. But Yeah, I think if you start sliding, I think, you know, there are other chaos teams that become interesting. And I truly don't believe this, but I keep going back to that COVID draft. Like, let's say Simpson really slides, right? Let's say there's like, it just all of a sudden it's like, wow, teams really have cold feet and they don't like the fact that he's only got 15 college starts. No one really wants to touch that, especially with half of them being kind of questionable. And he gets into the 50s. I'll never forget sitting there. It was the COVID draft and Howie Roseman takes Jalen Hurts at, I think it was 53 that year. And Carson Wentz was the hammer lock starter. It was like you had your franchise quarterback, you'd paid him. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, what on earth? What did Howie just do? Did he do this because he's at home? And it's not like, you know, it's not like a big talk in the room. And so he pulled the trigger on this quarterback. But, you know, I always think like Howie Roseman saw value there. Whether or not Hurts ultimately was going to become a starter for them, he saw value at the pick, saw value in the player, and sat there and said, you know what, it's here for me. I think the Eagles, I want to say, have the 53rd or 54th pick this year. And I kind of threw that out as a potential chaos team. Like, if this guy slides, really slides, I wonder if Roseman is sitting there in the 50s and he's going, hey, you know, maybe it's not the worst thing to have kind of a backup plan here, to kind of have another young guy in the fold, you know, in case it's not like things have been silent with Jalen Hurts. Another team, Baltimore, you know, the Lamar Jackson extension is not done. And the idea of them potentially moving off Jackson, especially if they don't have a great year, he doesn't have a great year next year, is going to build into the next offseason. And they, you know, they poked around Shadur too when last year's draft was going on. I think they would not be, again, this is in the case of a real slide where you see Ty Simpson slide. I think you could see some kind of interesting sort of chaos teams that you don't expect coming to the fold. But I still think he's everybody seems to agree he's no later than his floor is the top of the second. His ceiling is, you know, probably late in the first, unless the Rams do something crazy and take him at 13.
So you anticipate we might be seeing just a whole bunch of O linemen coming off earlier in this draft than people think, huh? I mean, I've been saying the Titans should take one all along, but no one wants to listen to me.
A gazillion. I think like
run on O linemen.
Yeah, I think you could see a run in the top 15. Like you could see five, maybe six guys. I'd probably five, but you know, if it really goes crazy, you could see, you know, five, six guys pack into the top 15 to 18 picks. And then I think without having my notes in front of me, I think when I kind of went through all the stacks with a lot of different evaluators, it felt like it was like eight in the top like 50. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of offensive linemen up at the top of the draft. Same with the edge, you know, O-line and edge are going to pack a crap ton of guys into the top of this draft, but they're also, if you want a tackle, if you want, you know, if you're trying to get your offensive lineman or your edge, do it in the top 50 because there's going to be some gaps once you get past that. And I think that's what's going to kind of fuel the run on those two positions.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to find out. We finally made it to the NFL draft. Looking forward to it tonight. Charles, we appreciate you as always, my man, and have some fun tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
What's your call, by the way, on four? I'm curious what you two have come down to. You got to have an answer. What's the call?
Like
for
the prediction or should do?
Yeah. No, no. Well, okay, give me both. Whatever, give me both. I like that.
Should do, I will go with whoever is left over between Arvell Reese and David Bailey at number four. My pick on what will happen is Sonny Styles.
Ooh.
Okay.
I agree with should. You know what? I agree with should, but I'm going to say that love does fall to them and they take love.
$48 million guaranteed, huh? Right there to a run.
I hear you, man. Hey,
it's a lot of money.
I hear you.
Hey, I'll just say this. If Sonny Styles is Fred Warner, cool. Like, you know,
better be
who he is. Yeah, take him and run with it and be happy for the next 10 years. So, all right, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week about all the mistakes we made.
That's right.
Yeah, we will. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on the program. Lots of great stuff to react to from Charles there. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, the Float 200, coming up at Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, May the 29th, to caller number four. Caller four, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll win a pair of tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman's Truck Series race coming up on May the 29th. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Joe, your thoughts on what Charles had to say on the Mike Vrabel front as it relates to the day three of the draft counseling that he will now be doing.
Well, so here's another thing about this that struck me. So he did this presser the other day, and it's, you know, again, it's like I said at the time, from a PR perspective, I think it makes sense. Now, the whole ambush thing, I didn't realize what Charles said. I didn't realize that a bunch of them had left. That's ridiculous. I know people who were there were also not impressed. But the general idea of get in front of it, have something separate, okay, talk about it, whatever. You know, again, there wasn't really any information shared. Basically threw the other party under the bus, but didn't really take accountability. But take care of it. So now the draft is the draft. So tonight they're going to pick somebody. They have a first-round pick, right?
I believe so. Let me double-check that, but I believe they do.
Okay. So tonight, tomorrow, yeah, whatever. They pick people, and now the, you know, the questions of media availabilities, you're asking about the players. You're asking about the draft. That's the idea. So now do this? How could someone tonight not ask, Mike, why would you miss the third day?
Yeah.
There's no way to schedule. So you did all that stuff to try to make this a non-story during the draft, and then you did something to make sure that you will be questioned about it during the draft. It's absolutely, it's bizarre.
By the way, they pick 31 tonight. They do have a first-round pick. There you go.
Wes in Clarksville says, I do counseling. You can do it virtually, and it usually only lasts an hour, so missing a whole draft day is BS. And then I also said, yeah, and also, like, for the most part, like, professionals in this business work on weekdays, right? I mean, like, for the most part, doctors, you know, and a mental counsel, mental health counselors, like, they work on, for the most part, on weekdays. Like, that's generally when you would schedule sessions. So this is a Saturday? He did say you can do it on weekends, depends on the counselor's availability. But the whole thing is just, I don't even, it's like, they are, like, let's take this hornet's nest and just absolutely kick it a few times. And then keep kicking it.
Yeah, crazy. It's pretty wild.
But anyway, back to the draft.
Well, what did you think of, you know, the guaranteed money, which we've talked about with Jeremiah Love? It's a lot of money to pay a running back, particularly one that's not set foot in the NFL to this point. And apparently, you know, not a huge surprise, but Charles is saying, I mean, that's really a point of contention with some of these NFL teams that maybe do have him first or second on their board, but are asking themselves, man, do we really want to guarantee a guy this much money coming into the league at that position? What do you make of that and how that could impact things tonight when the NFL draft comes around?
Yeah, it's when you think about the economics of your entire situation with a cap that is real, and if you're going to give top of market guaranteed money immediately to somebody, that's not what the draft is for. Like, the draft is to get these players that, you know, later you're gonna have to pay. If they're as good as you think they are, you're gonna have to pay them a lot, and you hope you have that problem. But in the meantime, you get 4 years and then pick up an option with a first round pick of price control, and that allows you to do all these other things. And so, you know, again, the number itself is, like, basically the same, whatever the position is. But just relative to that position, now that means you are pressed to find value at other spots where it's harder to find value, right? Like, yeah. I mean, just basic economics. And believe me, I'm no economist. So, but it makes sense. It's logical. It's like, so you are now going the opposite of value here, which means, well, at edge, at receiver, at offensive tackle, whatever it is, you have to compensate with value. All that said, I mean, I'm with you. If Love is there and the edges are both gone, then I'd go with him.
By the way, for the Titans at number four, I believe the total contract value will be $48.7 million. So a year one salary of roughly $8.86 million. So there you go. That's what you're looking at tonight at number four overall. So if it's an edge rusher, you're like, yeah, okay. You know, value-wise, when you look at the rest of the of that position group around the league, if Arvell Reese or David Bailey are what you hope they could be, well, that could be pretty cheap for you if they're impactful early in the league. Running back and linebacker, it's like, oh, boy, that's a lot of money to be given a running back and a linebacker immediately in their NFL careers.
Right. And that's, again, it's not the only factor, but it's another factor in if either of the edge guys are there, this should be. Now, again, to me, Reese and Bailey are different. And Reese may end up being better than Bailey, right?
Yeah.
But either way, I think it's easy. I think it's easy if that's the case. And the question is that how it's going to turn out? Are they actually going to have one of them available to them?
I think it's easy, too, and I said this to start the show. Like, if Mendoza goes number one, you should, in my opinion, end up with one of Reese, Bailey, or Love. But, boy, is there a lot of talk about Sonny Styles this week with the Tennessee Titans. A lot of talk about Sonny Styles. And I don't know. Like, I just, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, does that win out? And does Robert Saleh think he's basically Fred Warner 2.0, and that's where they go at number four tonight?
And look, everybody has mocks. Obviously, we love Dane Brugler. Let me just point out, Brugler has Styles going 11 to the Miami Dolphins. You know, so which would be to me,
which is not the norm, by the way.
No, but it's interesting because first of all, that's an expectation that if he doesn't go real high here, there's a potential plummet. And also, I mean, to me, that's much more a commentary on the player's position than the player himself. Yep. But it makes sense because of all the things we're talking about with premium positions and non-premium positions.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A couple other interesting things that Charles threw out there that we will get into coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on the NFL draft on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open coming up May the 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. You can register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Joe, also very interesting what Charles Robinson had to say earlier this hour on the offensive line front. Said, you know, there could be five or six that go in the top 15 to 18 picks. And when you're combining offensive line and edge rusher specifically, that you're going to see a lot of those picks in the top 50 of this year's NFL draft. So if you're the Titans and that's the way that you expect things to go too, does that make it more likely that you're pretty aggressive on the edge rusher front at either 4 or 35?
Yeah, I think that I think potentially. Yeah, I think it's easy for them. I think it's easy for them if one of the edges is there. I think now that again, I mean, I don't know their exact evaluations. We know what Mike Borgonzi said publicly about all these guys, and he basically gushed about all of them in one way or the other, whether he said it unprompted or he was responding to a question about each one of those guys. So I don't know. I mean, I'd love to know what they think about comparing Bailey to Reese. But to me, it's like either of them, I think it's easy. And then if they're both gone, then it gets interesting. And look, the trade back thing, someone really wanting, like Charles said, you know, maybe a Reese and he's there and wants to get to four and maybe thinks the Giants might take or Love, you know, like I mean, it's interesting. And the idea too, you know, with Charles, and I think it seems like this is a pretty strong consensus that teams would be like, actually, give me your 27 pick. Yeah. I don't need that second first round pick you've got this year. Give me that 27. And then how would a team like the Chiefs or the Cowboys or whoever feel about that?
It's a good question. I mean, it makes me think that if that's the case, that all these trades that people are all waiting for are pretty unlikely to happen. Like if teams are that unwilling to give 2027 first round picks back. Like, I don't know. Like, there's this anticipation that tonight's just going to have a bunch of trades. We'll see. I hope so. Like, I'd love to have a draft where there's a bunch of trades going on and it's pretty wild. And, you know, maybe if you're the Titans, you could take advantage of that as well. But as I said earlier in the show, like, particularly if Reese or Bailey are there at four, then I think you make it pretty simple at that point. I understand the idea of wanting to trade back and get more picks, but I like adding premium players to your roster, and I think the Titans got a chance to do that tonight. So I'm on that. I think we've seen a lot of people today, Joe, that would like to see them move back. I'm a little bit less open to that than I think some are.
Yeah. But then you get into, like, so I just mentioned Reese versus Bailey. Okay, so what about Reese versus Bain? And maybe they're like, you know what? Reese, I still need to see it. I see potential. I see traits. I've seen Bain destroy games, and I like, they might have Bain ahead of Reese. I don't know. Is that some crazy idea? Like, mock draft land, we think this is how everybody looks at it, and it's not. It's not how everybody looks at it. So
it's not. I mean, the one thing I would say on that is Borgonzi, one of the things he did say about Reese was he's one of the most explosive prospects I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, like, that – I'd have a hard time him saying, you know, viewing Bain that same way.
Yeah. Yeah. But public comments are, you know, it's all grain of salt too. But if you want to get into that, I still thought that the stuff he said about Styles might have been the most fawning of all of it. But again, is that because he really thinks that? Or is like, oh, I better say this now? I don't know. But I'm just saying, I agree with you in general. I think they should stick and pick and get one of these great players. But if you were able to trade down and you love Bain, or you're like, I really like Carnell Tate. He's just not – a little too rich at four, but mid is not at all at nine, and I think we can get him there. Then that's where the trade down could still yield you a player you think is essentially in that top tier.
Well, you better – as we discuss every year, if that's the case, you better have a really good idea of what these teams in front of you or behind you are doing at that point, right? Like, you – because it would suck to trade out of four, go down to nine, and then, you know, Bain and Tate are off the board by the time nine comes around. You're like, well, okay, I guess we'll take,
Mekhi Lemon.
Whoever.
Mekhi Lemon and Prosper, and then you actually fall into an amazing pick, but yes.
Could be.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, it's a risk. I don't think they're going to trade. I think they're going to pick at four. And I just... You know, the Cardinals, it's like, it's so interesting, that whole situation. I don't know. I think at this point, and maybe I'm just being, you know, bamboozled by all this stuff, but I just feel like one of those edges is going to be there. And it's going to be simple. And it's going to be simple for them, you know?
I hope that's the way it goes tonight for the Titans. I hope one of those edge rushers is there, and that's what we're talking about tomorrow morning.
And but I feel I separate them. I mean, if it's Bailey to me, then I just feel a large amount of certainty about his floor. Yeah. And I know that when you're at the top of the draft, you're like, floor? But it does matter. If the floor is really good player who's going to flirt with / get 10 sacks in many seasons, that's a good floor, and I think that is the floor. And the Reese floor is absolutely lower. Now, maybe the ceiling's higher. I don't know.
We'll find out.
I like floors, though.
We have finally made it to draft day here on the show. We will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow to discuss it all, everything that went down for the Titans and elsewhere in the first round of the NFL draft. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.